Hey guys, welcome to the Kimchi Curry Podcast. This is the first ever podcast episode we are doing. I'm Pascal Hausberger, and
this is Ali Hasnan speaking.
And yes, this is our first ever episode, and we're going to talk about how we started in stand-up comedy. And we're just going to, the basic format of this podcast is that we're just two bros who love each other, and we just talk, and we always talk on the phone for hours and hours every single day.
So oh, we geez. Thought. Do you have to say that?
So we thought we're just gonna record ourselves and, yeah. All right, Ali. So, how did you get into stand-up?
I started. So the first time, so I always wanted to do it. I wanted to do it like maybe 10 years before I actually did do it. So I don't recommend anyone waiting that long.
Yeah.
Before trying something they want to do.
When was the first time you thought you might want to do it?
I must have been, so I always wanted to do something with entertainment.
Yeah.
So like initially I wanted to play music, but I just didn't do it in a disciplined way. I didn't pursue it in any way. I just played guitar by myself, and I think I'm naturally very shy, so I don't like to perform for people. That's something that I had to overcome.
Are you shy?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, I think that most people, like, you can't really say, I mean, now this is going to get a bit deep, but I don't think you can say that. People are very layered. So there's parts of me that are very introverted.
Yeah.
And there's parts of me that are very extroverted.
Right. So is everyone, I guess, right? But
just like everyone. Everyone has different kind of, like, in different demographics or in different situations, they act differently.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm with my friends, I'm very extroverted and very loud and very boisterous. But when I'm with strangers or in a crowd or just generally outside in the environment, then it's like the opposite. But that's different now because of the whole stand-up stuff.
Right.
You know, like being on stage now so often, it's like it changes you, your personality and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's, yeah. I mean, there's also a difference between being an introvert and being shy, I guess. Because I guess you're more shy than, I mean, even if you're an introvert, doesn't mean you can't do stand up. I think most actually are introverted. So,
for sure. I mean, that was for me the funniest thing was that when you meet, first of all, all the comedians you meet, they all are so different.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all kind of doing the same thing. Of course, we have different joke styles and things, but we're all doing the same thing. But it feels like we're all different personalities, like really, really different personalities doing the same thing. And it's so weird to some guys go up and they kill it. And it's like the stage is like their natural kind of environment. And then they get off and they're very like, oh, thank you. Oh, how are you doing? And it's like, it's such an interesting, like split personality or dual kind of personality that people have.
Well, let us just clarify for people who don't understand, who don't know the terms. Killing in comedy means you did really well. And bombing means you did shit. It didn't go so well.
Yeah, I think that, considering that there's a guy called Ali Hasnan on the podcast, we really should make sure that killing and bombing are clarified.
Exactly. Kimchi curry. Why are we called kimchi curry, Ali?
So we're called kimchi curry because, well, are we called kimchi curry schnitzel or kimchi curry?
I think kimchi curry is better. Kimchi curry schnitzel is too long.
Too long. So initially we were kimchi curry schnitzel because the schnitzel part represented the fact that we both have our roots in Austria.
Yeah.
And then both of us, so Pascal is half Austrian, half Korean. I'm from India and Pakistan originally, and I grew up in Austria. The kimchi represents Pascal's Korean side and his stinky balls. And the curry represents my South Asian roots and also my stinky balls. So,
God. So when was the hardest you ever bombed?
I think the hardest I bombed was
freaking comedy.
Yeah, oh my God, that had to be the worst. That had to be the worst. I mean, that and then I had one. The first time I did it in German was also close to freaking. I think it must have been 2 weeks after that, and in both of those, I think I kind of I bombed, but I also kind of was just, I kind of like freaked out and just got off stage quickly because I was like, the nerves got to me.
Okay.
What about you?
I mean, yeah, freaking was, whew. So freaking comedy is a great show, actually. It's a great show in Berlin. But I don't know, that evening we both bombed hard. Like, no, we didn't get any laughs. And
we got some smiles, though.
We got some. Yeah, so the crazy thing was we were at a different event the day before, and we were both really killing it, actually, I would say. Like, we were really good, and we thought, oh my God, we're so good at this, it's amazing. And then the very next day we go to freaking comedy, and oof, completely bomb.
Yeah.
And well, what a shock that was, right? And then we kept talking about it, but then we saw the footage, because we always film ourselves, and people in the audience, we could see them smiling. They just didn't laugh out loud, but they were smiling. Especially the one guy. The one guy right next to us, next to the stage, he was smiling a lot. I mean, he wasn't smiling that much, but every now and then he was smiling, and I don't know. Yeah, that was the funniest thing to us. Yeah.
Yeah, I think frickin' was not so bad. I think frickin' was not so bad because it was less that they weren't enjoying our stuff, and more that they just weren't. The energy was low in the room.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Our bad was not bringing up that energy.
Yeah, that we should have done it there.
Exactly, and the way it came across on stage was that they were not liking it, but they were. It was just super hot, and no one was making any noise.
Yeah, and there were only 10 people or something. Yeah.
Yeah, the worst I bombed was definitely, I think it must have been my sixth time or something, going on stage, and the whole evening no one was laughing. It was at a hostel here in Vienna called One Bar.
Mm-hmm.
One Bats is the hostel, and One Bar is the bar in the hostel. And I remember I told my first joke, which, you know, it always seems to do well, and no one laughed. And I remember standing there and smiling and looking at the crowd expecting laughter, and there was no laughs. And then I repeated the line slowly because I thought they hadn't understood, and they still didn't laugh. And then I was like, what the?
And you repeated it a third time?
No, I didn't repeat it a third time. Oh, and then I slowed down my whole thing because I thought, oh, they probably don't understand me. Well, what actually happened was that we were all going on there, and we were all doing low energy bullshit. And they, like, I think subconsciously the crowd didn't even understand that this was a comedy show, because we were all going on there one after the other. Low energy, no one was hyping up the crowd, and then this local comic, he went on last. So they had gone through 1 hour of an open mic, not laughing at all. And then this guy came on and he did 15 minutes and he had the crowd in stitches.
Oh, in shit. Stitches.
They were dying. And that's when I realized, like, well, it was one of the many moments where I realized that, like, okay, yeah, I mean, the amount you blame the crowd is very, I mean, it's
always in your control.
It's always in your control. Yeah, it's always in your control.
Yeah, that's where we want to get to, right? Where we can completely turn around a bad situation and then make it, yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, yesterday I was in at an event, a great event. Check it out. Crazy Stupid Berlin is awesome. And the host is just so good. He's so good just with crowd work, even not even pre-written stuff. And so it's hard to follow because you feel like, ah, shit. Like, I'm going to follow this guy who's super funny. And you can, like, bring the energy totally up. And then, yeah. Puts a lot of pressure on you, for sure. But also it helps you then because people are already in the mood to laugh. And then,
yeah. For sure, for sure.
Yeah, I remember really one time I really bombed. I just thought of it. I mean, yeah, parts of the set went all right, but most of it didn't go well because it was a very liberal crowd, which is great, right? But so it was generally at the event, there were a lot of just art performances. And I love the event. It's cool. I love the host also. It's just they were very liberal, and I actually made the mistake. I told some like kind of Nazi related jokes, and oh my god, they did not like it. They did not like it. So it was complete silence. Complete silence. And yeah, that was hard. And I started sweating like crazy. which still happens actually, even when it goes well. I don't know.
But I remember, so I was in Berlin visiting Pascal, what was it, a week, 2 weeks ago or something. And the first set we did together, you were doing really well. But then halfway through, oh my God, your forehead was like acting as an extra light. The reflection was so strong, man.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I don't know. I started sweating like crazy.
But you kept your from the outside.
The only thing that
looked different was that you were sweating. You seemed completely
fine. Even on the video, I checked on the video. Like, you could even see the light reflecting back now. Oh, my God. It's like I worked out and then went back on stage or something. But, Jesus.
It's like you're calming in the morning and calming.
We love to do Arnold stuff. We should do a podcast just with Arnie.
Yeah, but dude, tell us, because we should, so that we stay on point, just quickly, or in however much detail you'd like to, give us the story of how you started, the first time you did a stand-up.
So I started stand-up in June this year, 17th of June. Always remain in my memory as a good memory. The first time, I loved stand-up since I was like 15-something. My sister showed me Russell Peters, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was the Red, White, Brown special, I think it's called. The one in Madison Square Garden. I loved it. Like, oh my God. I kept watching it over and over again. And yeah, then I followed Russell Peters. And then when I was 18, 19, I started watching Laugh Factory a lot. Laugh Factory clips. And at 19, I just thought, I don't know, I thought that's when I started, oh, this is actually super cool. I wish I could do it once too. And then, that's when I was 18, 19. And then when at 19, I thought, okay, I want to try it out. But I just never had the guts, never had the courage. And then I always pushed it aside. And this year, in June, I tried it for the first time. And I remember, I met Dragos Christian, who's a great comic. Lives in Berlin, is from originally from Romania, and he I met him, and he pushed me, and he signed me up for a cool event called Laughing Spree. And so I had a deadline, so I had to really prepare. And then I remember the days ahead of it, I was so nervous. I was really nervous. And that very morning when I went up on stage, I woke up and I was immediately like, oh man, I don't want to do it. It's just gonna be shit. I'm gonna bomb. I think I even had nightmares of bombing and stuff. I remember the whole day I couldn't really focus really well at work, and I was just, I really didn't want to do it. So I went home, I prepared, and then I went there, and the whole time I was so afraid. I was afraid that I'm gonna forget my lines and I'm gonna be shit, it's not gonna be funny. Then went on stage the whole time, and then I went in there and the whole room was packed. That room was packed, so I was even more afraid. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna bomb in front of so many people. But in the end, actually, that turned out to be good because it was so packed, the energy was so good, and then they actually laughed quite a bit. But the host was super nice, Chris. He introduced me with, hey guys, this is this next comic. He's doing it for the very first time, so please be friendly to him. So the crowd was super nice, and then my set, looking back, wasn't so good, but they were friendly enough to laugh quite a bit. And I remember when I came back from it, and just even well, until I went on stage, I was like, oh man, I really don't want to do this. I want to just run away. And then I was on stage and it was fine. Like, I didn't have the air fear anymore, but it was like a dream. Like, I wasn't really present. I was just saying the lines. So even when they laughed, I would just speak over the laughs because I couldn't take the pause. I didn't, you know, how to handle the situation. And yeah. And then I remember when I went off stage, it was the best feeling in the world. Like, best feeling ever. And I knew then, like, oh my God, I'm going to continue doing this. Yeah. It was much better than my other first time, by the way.
Go on.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna.
But it lasted. It lasted much longer, right?
You know, so we would always try new jokes on each other, and I try new jokes on you, right, Ali?
Yeah.
The worst thing in the world is that silence when I tell you a new joke and you don't respond.
I know, and we've gotten to what, like, a good minute and a half.
Yeah, no, before any of us says anything. Oh God, so awkward. Jesus.
But you're becoming quite the joke writer, man.
Oh Jesus, thank you, dude. You are as well. So.
Oh shit, we shouldn't spend our podcast just complimenting each other. People are gonna be like, "What the fuck? Like, we don't want to do this."
All right, so tell us about your first time.
Okay. In comedy. So I signed up. I think I signed up. So this was 3 years ago. And in Vienna, 3 years ago, basically the only chance you had to do comedy was like every 2 to 3 weeks. So I signed up to one. I didn't get a spot. And then I signed up again 3 weeks later. I did get a spot, but I told him I wasn't prepared because he told me 24 hours before, which is standard. It's just I didn't know that. I thought I would have like a week or whatever to prepare. And so I canceled, but I went to the show anyways to, you know, because I didn't want to like push it further. And then I woke up, I went out, I got smashed and I woke up and I was super hungover and I looked at my Facebook and the guy had posted the lineup for that evening and he said that I was, on the lineup.
Yeah.
And so I wrote jokes that day and I ran them by my buddy who was like my buddy's Crazy Victor, who was like, "This is shit." Which is a good thing. It's a good thing that he was so direct. And he was like, "It sucks. It's shit."
By the way, whenever you do an impression of it, why do you always go so high? He doesn't even have such a voice.
He does. That's what? How he talks. He does. He was like, "It's shit." And then he said, so he said that. So that was great. And then he said, "You know what? You it'll go well. You're a funny guy." And that also was amazing. That also for me, because he just... it gave me such confidence for him,
right,
just to say that, you know?
Yeah.
And, I told a bunch of jokes. And, of course, you know, when the host introduces you and says, "Hey, it's a first-timer, please be nice," and stuff, and it's a packed room, they're waiting for anything.
Mm-hmm.
For you to give them anything to laugh at, yeah, and they burst out laughing.
Yeah.
So, of course, it went really well. Just like you, I disassociated.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't remember it at all.
Yeah.
I just remember getting on and then getting off. And getting off was like the most exhilarating.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like the biggest release of emotions. And now it's like...
it's like what Arnold talks about, right? What Arnold talks about in Pumping Iron.
Yeah.
Okay. It's better than coming is.
Yeah. That's kind of what... I thought it was...
you were coming at home, I'm coming in the gym. It's better
in the morning. And then I go home to my girlfriend. I'm coming all the time. And then the way he smiles, like...
Wait, sorry, I interrupted you. What did you want to say?
So it was an exhilarating feeling and it was pretty awesome. So, and anyone who's, I would say that anyone who's thinking of doing it, do it.
Yes.
And anyone who's, you know, it's not about like really anyone. If you're funny with your friends, if you're not funny with your friends, if you just want to do it, do it. I mean, there's so many amazing things. It's just 5 minutes and you get so much out of it, you know?
Yeah, it's so much fun. The people you meet on the circuit, on the comedy circuit, is so cool. And I mean, everyone's so different, as you said earlier. It's so fun just to meet these people.
And like, it doesn't matter if you're going full time or if you're doing, if you're just doing it to hang out or whatever, like, you will get something out of it.
Yeah.
100%, you will get something out of it. So if you've ever had the idea of doing it, then just do it.
Yeah, I agree. Because you also don't know... I forgot what I wanted to say, but...
Oh, come on, dude. We've got to start strong. Come on, man.
Yeah, I think because most people, we hear this all the time. Like, oh, man, I can't do that. I couldn't go in front of all these people and do that. And they always say, oh, you're so courageous. You're so I don't think so, right? We just keep doing it. That's what it is.
Yeah,
and
I mean, without sounding too like Tony Robbins or whatever, there's nothing. It's not that you can't. It's not that you can't do it. It's that you won't do it. And not doing it is fine. It's fine if you don't want to do something.
Yeah.
But not being able to do it is bullshit. Everyone is able to go on stage and speak into a microphone for 5 minutes. Yeah. Everyone can do that.
Yeah. And bombing is not the worst experience in the world, actually. It really isn't.
It's the best.
Well, it's not the best either, but but it's one of the best experiences for sure, because learn so much.
Yeah, I mean, I remember you when we bombed at Frickin.
At Frickin, yeah.
I mean, what would we have? We learned in that moment. We learned like, okay, we can't have. The night before, the host had moistened up the crowd for us so much. You know, they were ready to go because he pumped them up.
Yeah.
And our sets went well and we were like, oh, look how good we are. We're amazing.
Yeah.
And then the next night, we did the same set and it was shit. And the reason it was shit was because the host... the energy was so low in the room.
Yeah, I mean, the host is funny, but it wasn't.
The host is funny, but
I mean, no one is as good as Dar from Cosmic Comedy. Oh my god, exactly. He just amps up the crowd like crazy.
He brings you in like as if you're a rock star. You know, he amps up the crowd. He's got them on their feet, clapping, stomping. You know, he gives everyone free shots. He amps up the crowd. He gets them into a frenzy. Of course, they're going to love you. And we thought we were like, look at how good we are, you know? And actually, what happened? And then we realized, no, it had very little to do with what we did.
Yeah.
He had amped up the crowd. I mean, we could have just gone up there and sang a song for 3 minutes and they would have probably been like clapping and loving it. So,
yeah.
So yeah, you learn a lot from bombing.
Yeah. Also, then it means it's just a reminder that you have to work harder.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, that's how. But then killing it is obviously a much, much better feeling. You don't work as hard afterwards, right? Killing, you're like, I got this. But that's a fallacy because you have to keep doing it. Otherwise, you're gonna. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. I mean, when you bomb, also then you also, I think, just this. Getting that mindset of like, you know, you were saying the first time you did it, you had nightmares or you were fantasizing that you were gonna do really badly.
Yeah.
And in your head, it's like if no one laughs, that's the worst thing that can happen. But when that actually does happen and you come out and you're still alive and actually it doesn't really matter, that's also really important, I think, to have the mindset of like, hey, if I do something wrong or if something goes wrong, it's fine. I'll deal with it afterwards or I'll still be alive afterwards.
Yeah.
Whereas the mind always makes you think like you won't be able to survive not being funny on stage.
Right. Also, this... I feel like because we love the book Mindset, so we talk about it all the time. Bombing is not... It's just a feedback that something didn't work. And it's nothing permanent, right? So you used to always Like, I used to think, oh shit, if something doesn't work, I'm not funny. But then you said, you told me, no, that's a fixed mind. Because in the book, the author writes about fixed mindset and growth mindset. That's a fixed mindset to do. Like criticizing your own behavior or personality, which is kind of unchangeable as, well, not really, but like it's much harder to fix. Whereas you just say, oh no, that joke didn't work yet. I just have to work on it or get rid of it. But I'm okay. It's just the behavior, what I did wasn't as funny. Just have to tweak that.
For sure.
Yeah, that's how we see bombing, right? And
yeah. I was reading the book, but at the same time I was talking to Moni Zhang comedy, and she shit, my bad. And she said exactly that. She was the one who told me that. She said, "I know I'm a funny person because I've had I think she won an award, and also
she's amazing. She's really funny."
Exactly. Yeah. And she said, "I know I'm a funny person. So when I go on when I have 3 minutes or 5 minutes and I just start talking about whatever and it doesn't hit, I'm like, okay, maybe that joke isn't, the story doesn't work, or that joke isn't good, or I have to tweak the joke." But she doesn't take it personally because she knows she's won that award. She knows that she's done 20 minute or whatever sets, which have been hilarious. So,
right.
And that's the mindset you have to. At some point, we're going to have to do a video podcast because we need to get these gestures as well. You know?
Dude, I was thinking like all the people who are listening, they're going to be like, what are these beginners talking about? You know, we're still beginners, actually.
Yeah, but I, of course, but I mean.
But still, we learned a lot already in this past
few months. Yeah, I think so. I think, well, for sure. But I think the interesting part is also if we just talking about what we have learned as we're learning it, you know, that's also a great, anyways, let's wrap this bad boy up.
Already?
Yeah.
You think people don't want to listen to what we have to say anymore?
Dude, no one wants it. There's going to be exactly 3 views. You, me, Yasmin. Our moms,
yeah.
Your mom probably. My mom probably. Actually, 5 views.
Yeah. Hey guys, it was our first ever episode. Thank you so much. Please keep listening. And yeah, we're going to release more episodes very soon. See ya. Bye.